Let me get turned on there. At least I'm changing things, or actually I'm not changing things, so you'll have to take this up with the Lord. But turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Genesis 1, 1 through 5, and I confess to you that, I was going a different direction. I had something entirely different on my heart. I had prayed for and prayed about. I got one loaded up and in the gun barrel, as an old preacher friend of mine used to say. I was clearly on the wrong page this morning, and God has directed our heart to just a little bit different scripture and a different text, and really just a different theme altogether. But we're gonna minister the word of God as the Lord would have us to, we're looking at Genesis 1:1 through 5. Genesis 1:1 through 5. As I read this years ago, God spoke to me about this text, and I was trying to study creation and so forth, but the Lord drew my attention to the things that God dealt with first. And just in these five verses, we're going to see something that is very very relevant, very applicable to us today. But let's look at what the Bible says in Genesis. God's got a word for us this morning right here, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You may be seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of his word. So we see that in this creation account, it's not my purpose to stand here today and speak to you about creation itself and all the fine details that we find in God's word, but we believe that from this creation account, just to this first day, there's something very relevant for you and I today, as God would speak to our hearts and speak to the needs of his people. And I hope you have been paying attention to the songs that have been sung this morning and what you have saw on this screen. Oftentimes, of course, you know I don't coordinate with the singing. I don't do anything like that. Sometimes Abigail asks me, you know, what's on my heart? What am I preaching? So she can pray about an invitation song. And in fact, she does that every Sunday morning. Drives me absolutely crazy. Anyway... She does a good job with that, a great job with that. But I don't coordinate with what songs are sung. You know, I don't ever ask her, "What are you singing? What do you got lined up? What have you got in the gun barrel?" So if you notice, I think even sometimes they don't really see the alignment of the songs God has led them to sing. Maybe sometimes they do, but this morning, very clearly from beginning to end, God's speaking to us, and he's speaking to you. I want you to notice some things that God deals with right here in the creation story. Some issues, some things that must be important to God. I believe the Word of God is inspired and inerrant and infallible, and I believe the creation story as it's told, I believe God created everything that we know in this creation story in the exact order that he wanted these things created. I don't think he just was throwing some stuff out there, randomly creating things. But what we see here, number one in this text, is that the very first thing God dealt with in creation is he dealt with darkness. He dealt with darkness. Now, I don't think I need to stand here and define darkness for you, because you're going to understand all so well if you will just in your heart and in your mind think back to dark days that you may have lived in. But what I do know is this. I do know that every great man of God in the Bible, every hero of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, Many of the great people that we maybe not idolize is not the word, but that we look to by example in God's word, every one of them, without exception, they understand dark times and dark days. And so listen, there is this line of preaching today that, you know, and we mention it all the time because it's so prevalent today, and it very well could be the one world religion there in the last days. But there is this line of preaching that it's just the faith, the wealth and health type preaching that if you just have enough faith, you'll be rich. If you have enough faith, you'll never be sick. And if you claim prosperity, you'll have prosperity. If you claim health, you'll have health. And that, you know, if a doctor calls and gives you a bad report, well, then it's because you've not had enough faith. And that if you'd have enough faith, things would be good for you. And it's this line of preaching that the world we live in is just this fairy tale. And if we blink our eyelids three times, we too can have this little fairy tale of a life where there's no trouble and where there's certainly no darkness in our life. But that's not the Bible. The Bible that I hold in my hand, it shows me that this, and that's how I know that the Bible's written by God, not by man. Because if man wrote this book, it's a terrible story. Because we see heroes of faith in battles and in struggles and with real darkness in their life. If man wrote this book, he should paint it more like a fairy tale and not like a real life story in which it is. And so the reality is that for the best of us, there are some dark days that we live in and that we live through. The reality is that for the best of us, that we, like David or Elijah, that we look for a cave to run in and hide. We look for a bush to crawl under where we can just hide away and wish ourselves to die because days are difficult and because days are hard. And if you're a child of God, then you need to understand, if you're a child of God, number one, the Bible says God is light. God is light. So I can promise you that everything that God is, the devil is going to try to counter that with the exact opposite. In fact, every lie the devil speaks to you, if you suffer with anxiety or discouragement or depression or worry, every lie the devil speaks to you, you can take the word of God and know that God is the exact opposite of every lie the devil speaks to you. And so if God is light, and indeed He is, and in Him is no darkness at all, but then that means the enemy is going to try his best to push darkness upon us. To where sometimes we can't see the light of day. That's why when people come to me and they say, I have been so depressed that I can't even get out of bed. I don't want to even get out of bed. All I want to do is throw the blankets over my head and not get up. Well, I deal with darkness in different ways. That's not the way I deal with it. But I never judge people for that because we see some of the best in the Bible. Heroes of faith running and hiding in darkness to get away from dark times and dark days in their life. And believers, we are not exempt from dark, difficult days. If anything, we're more susceptible to it because we belong to a God who is light. So one of the things about our so-called church today is this, and listen, I'm all about praising Him and I'm all about worshiping Him. And man, I come from old school. Like I've seen some revival days in the church. And I mean where the old saints would sing, shout, pray. I've seen every bit of that. I'm all for all of it. But the fact of the matter is on both sides of the aisle when it comes to modern worship or biblical views, I see a lot of emphasis placed on praising and the shouting and the singing and the praising. In reality is there's some days that are so dark in our lives we don't feel like giving thanksgiving. We can't find praise or gratitude inside of us. There's some days that are so dark we just want to die. End of story. That's the reality. And for the one that's walking around saying, bless God, y'all just praise Him and y'all to keep your head up and y'all to just look up and y'all to be thankful and all of that. Well, they're putting on a charade because they too have lived in dark days. When some of the greatest men that's ever recorded throughout Scripture have hid in caves and have wished to die and have been thrown in dungeons and thrown in prisons and chained to prison floors. And they've had dark, dark days. And you can rest assured that you and I are going to have dark days too. But here's the thing. You're not alone. You're not alone, because that is the tactic of the enemy as well, is to convince us that where we're at, what we feel, what we're going through, what we're enduring, particularly the darkness that's crept into our life, the enemy tries to convince us that no one else is going through that, and that we are alone and there's no one else like us in this situation in the whole world around us. That's a lie. That's a lie. I walked up on the porch of a church, my church I was pastoring one time. One of my deacons, a very faithful man, he's with the Lord now. I walked up on a Sunday evening and we said hello, whatever the cordial words were. And he said, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm good. What about you? And he said, yeah, I'm good too. We stood there just a minute in awkward silence, and he said, no, I'm not. And I said, well, good. Good, because I'm not either. And so the reality is, this darkness that we're talking about, these dark days, listen, the enemy plans it. He puts it in our path in an effort to sidetrack us, to derail us, to lead us astray. Could God stop it all? Absolutely. God could stop darkness from ever entering into our life. Is God big enough to do it? Yes, He is, but He allows it. He doesn't cause it. And it's not that He wants it, but He allows it because there's lessons to be learned in those dark places. That's why we read about Elijah running and hiding under a bush and then running and hiding in a cave, wishing to die. That's why we read about David, he himself running into a cave when he's chosen and anointed and picked by God for a task. It's recorded because God's got stuff He wants us to learn and to teach us during those dark days. But just as sure as you'll have victory, there'll be days of defeat. Just as sure as you'll have days of walking in the light, there'll be days of darkness. Just as sure as you'll have days where you just want to praise Him all day long, there'll be days where you just want to cry all day long. Listen, sometimes the good comes with the bad. Blessing and burden, they're hand in hand. I've told you that. I used to say that sometimes blessing was one hand and burden was the other. But the longer I've lived, I believe sometimes they're in the same hand. And you experience and live them both on the same day. But the very first thing our God dealt with was He dealt with darkness upon all the land. He dealt with darkness. And our God's able to do that. Let me report in this morning, by the way, that I know our country has, I don't know what's happened to it. We got off track years and years ago. This thing goes back further than the last presidency or the current presidency or two or three presidencies ago. This thing goes back a long, long time ago. I know the look of our country, where we stand, who we are as a nation. It's not a favorable outlook. I understand that. I understand the condition of the church. The report there is also not good either. I mean, the most recent statistics coming out about the condition of the church, it's a sad, sad story. We'll talk about that maybe at a later time. I understand all of that. But I just want you to know that we serve a God who's still on His throne, a God who's still in control, a God who not only can and not only is willing, but a God who is able to deal with darkness that's in your life and inside of your heart. God is alive this morning. He's very much alive. So God dealt with this. He dealt with darkness. But listen, what He also dealt with? He dealt with disorder. Because God is a God of order. He's a God of order. We see that time and time again. We see that in the way that various miracles and things like that were performed. We see the way creation was carried out. God is a God of order. We see it even in the, I was going to preach on the flood this morning. We see it even in the account of the flood with Noah's Ark and the way God had an order for everything he did during that time of judgment upon all the land, the way he brought the animals, the way the ark was built, his commands with Noah. God's a God of order. We see when Jesus feeds the 5,000, we see that he's a God of order, that Jesus commands those disciples exactly how to pass the food out, and he commands the disciples on how to sit down those some 15, maybe 20,000 people. He wants them set out in rank and order because God is a God of order. And so we see this, that God deals with darkness, but then God deals with the disorder that was in the world to be. And so that's what God does in our lives. God deals with disorder in our lives. What is disorder? It's when things are not in order. It's when things are not put together. It's where things are not coming together the way we believe they ought to come together. It's when life's not happening the way it's supposed to happen. It's when life's not turning out the way it's supposed to turn out. That's what disorder is. And I want you to know one of the things God dealt with not only was darkness, but God dealt with the disorder. And God, through his spoken word, God spoke and disorder came into order. Isn't that something else, that disorder, when God speaks, it jumps and obeys the command of God and has to submit to the order that God is trying to bring to a created world? I want you to know this, and your life is no different. You are in that place of darkness or that place of disorder, where you don't know what's what anymore, what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right. You never know what to expect day to day from your emotions, from your mental status, from the situation around you. Life has just turned you upside down. And the enemy has taken advantage of it. The enemy gets you down, and he wants to kick you, and he wants to beat you. And he wants to kill you and leave you for dead. That's what he wants to do. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you all that God's promised you. And listen, and though there is darkness, and though there is disorder, that doesn't change God's plan and God's purpose for you. Do you know that? Because when God makes a promise, and when God has a plan, there's nothing that heaven or earth can do to change that promise or that plan for you. So darkness may have crept in. Disorder may be the order of the day. Maybe that's where you're having to walk at. But understand this, that day of darkness, that day of disorder and disarray, that's not the way it's going to be for the rest of your days and for the rest of your life. Because if you're here this morning and you're breathing and you can see and you can feel and you can observe and you can think, then know this. God is not done with you, and this darkness and this disorder is not going to kill you, but God's going to bring deliverance to you. Amen. Abigail, you can go ahead and come. But I want you to notice this. Not only the darkness that's in this text, the disorder that's in this text. And by the way, some of you are thinking, you know, if I only had this, things would be better. If I only had that, things would be so much better. If I could only do this, oh, it would drive the darkness away. If I can only do that, well, that would make my situation so much more favorable. Or if this person would only do this or do that, or if this person would only be this or be that, you know, if I could only walk into this certain kind of blessing, then things would be all better. Listen, let me explain something when we're talking about the Lord our God right here. When the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, the Bible says. And darkness moved on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want you to know what God did, literally. God literally took nothing and made something. God didn't just have a pile of dirt and say, what can I do with this pile of dirt? I think if I get it and I form it and fashion it in this certain way, then this is going to be the product or the outcome. No, God didn't need anything. He didn't need anything because He's God. He literally took nothing and He made something. So let me tell you this. Stop thinking that if you only had this or that, or if you can only do this or that, or if you can only go here or there, or listen to this or listen to that. Stop thinking that if there's anything you could do, things would be a whole lot better. Let me tell you what the one thing is that you should do and can do. You could put your faith in an almighty, all-powerful God who made the world and all that is within it in 7 days, and God can take nothing and make something in your life today. That's the God in whom we serve. And so notice the difference. Notice the difference. God separated the darkness from the light. He called one day and one night time. What a difference. And I want you to know this. I want you to know that the Lord can make a difference in your situation. Now, I'm not talking about easy believism. I'm not talking about magic. I'm not talking about blinking your eyes several times and it all goes away. If I could take away the darkness and disorder in your life, I would do it this very second for you to never deal with it no more. But I can't do that. But I know this, God's got His eye on you. Did you know that He has the very hairs of your head numbered? You know that? Now, for some of you, that's a whole lot of hair. For MA, that's 3 hairs. But now how could it be that God would know the very hairs on your head? How could that be? Because He made you. He created you. He watches you. He studies you. He knows you inside and out. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He also knows this. He knows when you're in darkness. It didn't catch Him by surprise. He knows when disorder has struck you like a lightning bolt out of heaven. He knows that. It didn't catch Him by surprise. He didn't have to have Fox News or CNN or none of these. Not that He had watched CNN, but I'm just saying. He didn't need any of that. God knows where you're at. It didn't shock Him or catch Him off guard. He knew when He formed you in your mother's womb that this is where you would be at on this Sunday morning in the circumstance that you're in on this Sunday morning. God knew that. He didn't make it or create it, but He allowed it. Why? Because He's going to bring you out one day. Because He's going to bring you out. Acts 16, flip the verse 25. The Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas, chained to that inner dungeon. We preached about this. They're on that dungeon floor. A little bitty peephole out the top of that little dungeon they were down in. They've been beaten and whipped. And the Bible says they begin to sing and pray, sing praises unto God, and that a great earthquake took place. And I've always noticed in that text that after that great earthquake took place, and prisoners were freed, and chains fell off, that they called for a light. They called for a light. There's a day coming in your life, and you don't have to see it. But by faith, you need to know it and claim it. When darkness will have to yield to light. When disorder will yield to orderliness and completion and fulfillment in the promises of Christ. You need to know that. You need to trust that. You need to believe that. But I'm going to tell you what's needed here today. What's needed here today is a bunch of Sunday morning believers. Which means we got up, we got our best on and our finest on. We cleaned up. Took our weekly bath, made our way to the house of God, and as people said to us, "You doing okay?" We said, "I'm doing good. How are you?" When it's really not so. We need some Sunday morning believers today to take off those masks of charades. Because I'm going to tell you what your brother needs more than anything today, man. Listen up. He doesn't need to see how much you can bench press, how much you can squat, how far you can throw a football, how big the buck was you killed. Your brother doesn't need to see or know any of that. What he really needs to see is he needs to see how that you struggle too. He needs to see how you are in a difficult situation too. He needs to see that you understand dark days. And he needs to see you to be a man of God and come to the altar and say, "I'm hurting, I'm in darkness, my life's in disorder." Because it'll give him Holy Ghost boldness to know that, hey, I'm not alone. I hurt too. It's not good with me either. That's what he needs to see. And for our sister, what your sister needs to see is that your life's not as put together as your makeup and hair says you are this morning. But you're very much hurting today. You're very much needy today. You're very much empty today, and darkness surrounds you. And if you could join David or Elijah in a cave, that you'd run to them as fast as you could, because you hurt too. A family that is so, so dear to us. Wish I could tell the story about how we met and God brought it all together. But I become very close to this family and a man in this family. He had a son who was a highway patrolman. In fact, he was the first Cherokee Indian to be a highway patrolman in North Carolina. This man's son was. Well, this man got married. His son got married, married his sweetheart. They had a baby born very, very, very premature, as premature as a baby could ever be born. It was in the NICU. 1 week later, my friend's son stopped the vehicle on the side of I-40 in our county. The guy got out and come back. Long story short, he pulled a gun and he got my friend's son down on the pavement on the side of I-40. He shot him once. And as my friend's son begged for his life and told his killer, "Please don't, I've got a baby," the man shot him again and killed him. I'll never forget the call that night that said, "Sean's been killed. That's all we know. He's been killed on the side of I-40. 2 weeks after that, my friend's grandson died in that NICU. We lost his son, his first grandchild, his grandson, in a 2 week time period. Oh, and he was mad. He was mad toward this murderer. You would be too. I was mad. I was angry. I didn't see through the lenses of God's mercy, but I was seeing through the lens of the law. And an eye for an eye, and I was mad too. So a long, long story. Obviously angry, mad, bitter. You lost your son, you lost your grandson. Those are dark days, my friend. Dark days. But listen to me. If I take you to where that man's at today, that man this morning is serving the Lord. God's give him grace to move on in life, because God's got a plan for him and his family. He's serving the Lord faithfully. I'm not saying he doesn't hurt. I'm not saying he just forgot about it and turned over a new leaf. No, you don't get over anything like that. For the rest of your life, you'll never get over that. But God lifted him from despair and darkness. And he serves the Lord. And his son serves the Lord. His other son serves the Lord. And so it's a testimony. It's a story of God's grace. And listen to me, if God can take a situation like that and bring light into that darkness and bring order from the disorder and the brokenness and bring worship and honor, then you need to know you're not an exception to this. God can do the same thing in your life, and he's willing to do the same thing in your life, and he wants to do the same thing in your life. But just have hope, dear brother. Have faith, dear sister, and know that this day today is not where you're going to sit forever. And just know that this day today is not where you're going to live out the rest of your days. Just know that this day today, God's doing a work. You don't have to see it. You don't have to know about God's plan. But just believe that I'm here by divine appointment. And if God as creator could do those things in Genesis 1, then God as my redeemer can do so much more with me. Because your eye has never seen, your ears have never heard, your heart, it has never entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you that love him. And that is you, and you, and you, and you. Stand with us this morning. And by faith, make your way to this altar as fast as you could come.